This is IA Forward, your playbook for success as an independent insurance agent. Here to help you knock it out of the ballpark are your hosts, Shane Tatum and Tanya Lead.
Welcome to IA Forward. Shane, our 23 NIL Integra athletes had an absolutely fantastic weekend. They won 5 games in a row, one of which was over a top 20 team, and I'm so proud of these girls.
I'm ecstatic about these girls. They have a ton of fight in them, and that was one of the things that attracted us to the whole NIL concept. We were looking for a place to try this, to get into the NIL space in some way, and the fight and the competitiveness and just the grittiness of that team and those players, it validates why we're doing what we're doing. And it didn't hurt that top 20 win came in the opponent's home park stadium with a pretty raucous crowd. So that was a lot of fun.
My husband, actually, we remodeled part of our house recently to move my office from being next to his to the other side of the house. And I really think that softball season exacerbated that need because this was a remodel that we weren't going to do for another year or two. But me hollering at the computer screen while the girls are playing maybe had that move happen a little faster. I know they can hear me, even though they may be playing 10, 12, 14 hours away. If I yell loud enough, they're going to hear me.
So that's how you handle LSU football too. And LSU baseball, like you yell.
Yeah. I don't care if they're in extra innings and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I cannot go to bed because they're going to know and it's going to make a difference.
I found myself to be a clapper. I caught myself clapping alone with the TV. I'm sure I've always done it, but maybe I just didn't pay attention. But there was a situation a couple of months ago where we were watching teams that we would follow on a normal basis. And Julie had gone to another part of the house and I was in the living room by myself. And I stood up and I was watching this intense play and something happened. And I found myself clapping. I wasn't yelling. I wasn't like, woohoo. I wasn't doing the normal type of thing. But I caught myself clapping. So I'm a clapper.
Something that I've learned from you through this process is the whole idea of walks versus strikes. And this was not a thing that I was aware of, but I love the idea of this is what should that walk versus strike ratio be and how that applies to our agencies. Now, that sounds a little far-fetched, but Shane's going to take this one.
Really, what we're talking about is from an offensive standpoint, we're talking about the walks to strikeout ratio. So that would be baseball, softball. That would be how many walks did you achieve versus the strikeouts that you had, game, season, etc. Mainly more of a season thing. You don't want 10 strikeouts and 2 walks. That would be a low walk to strikeout ratio. Something where you have more walks than strikeouts is a very desirable offensive ratio and an offensive statistic that I look at. I looked at it when I was coaching. It's good feedback for the player. And the reason is if you're walking more than you're striking out, that means you're probably swinging at your pitch and not the pitcher's pitch most of the time.
Okay. Now, if you're not a sports person, hang in there. We're about to make this real for you. So just hang in there.
I'm going to geek out here for a minute. So just bear with me. If you are searching for your pitch in an at-bat until you get 2 strikes, or you are up there with a plan, because the pitching is so good, you can't just see it hit it at the level of college softball, especially Power 5. The pitchers are so good that you got to be very specific about what you're doing. So having a walk to strikeout ratio means that as a hitter, you're looking for your pitch, you're swinging at your pitch, and you're not swinging at the pitcher's pitch. Because what pitchers are trying to do is they're trying to get you to get out of the strike zone. They're trying to get you to swing at a pitch that is off the plate. Because if they just throw the ball down in the middle of the plate, your chances go way up. If they throw the ball a ball off the plate and they get you to swing, they're going to go 2 balls off the plate next time. They're just going to keep going until you stop. That's what good pitching does. One of these things, has become very obvious to me because as I've watched our NIL athletes who are all softball players and such good hitters, our walk to strikeout ratio in this group of athletes is much better than it was last year, which means we have a better plan, which means we're staying in the zone, which means that we're having more success because we're not swinging at the pitcher's pitch more than we're looking for our pitch to hit. It just became this sort of aha moment for me. I've always known this statistic offensively, but I really started thinking about it in terms of, wow, that is really important to compare to how to be successful as an independent insurance agency.
I've had numerous conversations with new independent agency owners. And one of the things that I always ask is, who is your target demographic? Who do you want to sell insurance to? And I've been so shocked that I would say probably 7 out of 10, usually come back with, now that I'm independent, I can write everybody. That's why I left XYZ to become independent, so I can write everybody's insurance. And based on what you just said, from now on, I'm going to make that noise that is the strike noise. Because no, strike, whatever. No.
It's the, I can write everybody, but should you? You can go to the plate with your bat and swing at every pitch. The chances of being successful doing that are very slim. Having a hitting approach in softball or baseball is very similar to a sales executive, producer, agent having a target market approach. And understand, target market doesn't have to mean class of business. So in commercial, to try to write small business all the way up to middle market and be a generalist at it, it's very difficult. To just write any type of class of business, which would mean from all different types of contractors to fabricators, welders, manufacturers, the food industry, being able to pick an industry, learn that industry, maybe even better, maybe you have a background in that industry, and then target those industries that you become the expert on, your success is going to go way up because number one, you speak their language. You're able to walk the talk. You don't get into a networking event within that niche and not understand what they're talking about. And you're able to bring risk management expertise to the table. In personal lines, the equivalency to that is understanding the geographic areas that you're going to market yourself in. Understanding that there's a difference between specialty or non-standard auto and standard preferred auto home and high net worth. Those are different. And farm and ranch or rural type property, unprotected property classes, that's totally different too. What I see is agents come into the independent agency channel and they have this, I can do anything, I have a market for everything, or I need to have a market for everything. And they find themselves spread so thin that they are the jack of all trade, master of none, and they really aren't an expert at anything.
How do you know what your pitch is? That's what you're saying. You're saying, if I go to the plate, it's my at bat, I'm supposed to wait for my pitch. How do I know what that pitch is?
My daughter, as a collegiate athlete, as a left-handed hitter, she is pitched on the outside part of the plate 90% of the time. How does she know that? How do I know that? I know that because she told me. How does she know that? Because she charted her pitches. She kept record of how she was pitched. And over time, this develops into a pattern. To compare that, what do we know? It's really easy to talk from a commercial standpoint here because it's really easy to get caught up in being a generalist and the low-hanging fruit of, hey, do you want to take a look at my insurance? That can be the dreaded prospect offer. Hey, somebody you meet at a networking event, a chamber event, rotary event. Hey, do you want to take a look at my insurance? I'm looking to have that reviewed. That's great. What if they turn out to do something? They have a business. It's really tough. Like maybe it's a class of business that you don't understand. That's where you have to say, okay, is this an opportunity or is this a distraction? Charting your pitches, charting your at-bats, you may have to go through a little bit of pain to figure out where you need to be. I love to tell agents to look at your carrier portfolio. So in your carrier portfolio, your carriers do some things really, really well, and some things they just do, but they don't do it great. Understand what your carriers do and what they do really well, and then see If any of those things that they do, lines of business, class of business, align with some knowledge base that you have. I'll use an example. My brother-in-law is good at writing farm and ranch. We're in a small community, rural. We tend to be a little more generalist. Some of you have a better shot at this than others because you're in suburban metro areas where you can just write plumbers and electricians all day long and never run out of prospects. We're not like that. So one of the things that's very similar for us is farm and ranch exposures. My brother-in-law happens to have grown up doing and being in the 4-H FFA world as a youngster, as a teenager, as a high schooler, and well into college. Now he has kids that are doing the same thing. He understands this world. So he's naturally really good at riding farm and ranch, not because he spent 2 decades doing it, but because he spent his entire life understanding it, and now he's taking his insurance expertise and he's applying it to the unique status of that world. It's easy. We want you to look at the things that are naturally easy because it's a natural part of your world.
I was talking with an agent in Houston a few years ago, and they were telling me their plan was to join the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in the area, that they had decided that the area that they were in had a very heavy Hispanic population. And my question to him was, do you speak Spanish? And he said, no. And I said, do any of your team members speak Spanish? And he said, I'm a solopreneur. It's just me. I knew he had 2 children. Does one of your children play ball? Does one of your children take dancing? And I'm asking these questions. And I said, wouldn't it make more sense to make your target demographic the parents at the ball game or at the dancing school rather than the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce because you don't speak Spanish? But to him, he knew that he was going to be successful because of the Hispanic population in the area, and this is where he was going to target. So yes, on paper, it made sense, but in real life, not so much.
I call this being an anxious hitter. When you go to the plate with the mindset of, I've got to get a hit, what happens is you expand your strike zone beyond the real strike zone. You become anxious. You start doing what's called pressing.
And you can see the desperation on that player's face. Really and truly, when they have that mindset of, I've got to get a hit, I've got to get a hit, they always have that mindset. But there's a desperation that shows up. And to me, if I was in a pitching position, I would be able to see that and like really take advantage of it.
Some people like to call it, oh, he or she is aggressive. They're an aggressive hitter. I like to call it, they're an anxious hitter. And I feel like that example you're giving us, it's the insurance agent salesperson form of being an anxious salesperson. And my whole take on this is that you don't have to be this anxious salesperson in order to be successful within these circles. What you have to do is just be yourself. This is back to authenticity. Be the helper, the server, become known. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm in the insurance business. These natural things are planting seeds that you're going to harvest eventually. What happens is the anxious salesperson, just like the anxious hitter, shows up in solicitation mode. Don't do that. Don't panic. You don't have to panic and go about it that way. It may take a little bit longer, but you go in as the patient hitter. You go in looking for a strike, and then you have success with one client, one prospect, and that prospect tells somebody else. And the next thing you know, you've started your referral program. It doesn't take a dozen. You don't have to be this anxious hitter, anxious salesperson to hurry up and get 10 people so they can tell 10 people. No, all you need to do is have success with 1 or 2, and you don't have to become anxious about that. As a matter of fact, it will probably run people off because you will be different by being patient, and you will not come off as the prototypical insurance salesman, which will be refreshing. It's a little bit of running against the grain, but it's something that we should practice better, especially if we are quietly prospecting within our natural social circles.
This does not necessarily mean your family, because you're never going to get rich off your family. your family is going to probably cause you the largest headaches of all of your clients. So let's take that part of the equation out. But when we're talking about finding your target demographic, finding your pitch, yes, start with the people that you're around and then expand from there. And I love the idea of the referral, of saying, hey, I need clients just like you, and asking for the referral that way, because it makes people feel special. I see so many ways that people ask for referrals, and they're not always ways that I love, because I don't necessarily, again, want everybody's business. And I've learned this the hard way. We've talked about that on this podcast before. I've ended up with some clients over the years that caused me a lot of headaches for not a lot of money. You want the good clients. So figuring out how to ask for those referrals that are coming from clients just like them, to me, is really key in figuring out your pitch long term.
Through observation of our 20s and 30-something salespeople, that in our community, there's a growing next generation thing going on within banking, with attorneys, with CPAs, centers of influence. A lot of these individuals either have grown up with each other or have become really acquainted friends into married life with children, talking about that circle. And it's something that we miss. Writing certain types of businesses, professionals, CPAs, attorneys, these professionals have basically bought business, and they probably are getting their malpractice type insurance, their D&O insurance, their professional liability through. A lot of times they're getting it through an association. You might can fill that void, but what you can do is you can fill the BOP, you can fill the basic policy. I don't think that's dabbling if you're building a network of that. You're becoming an expert in CPAs and attorneys and young professionals that are starting their own practices. They're doing what you're doing. If that fits who you are and your stage of developing your agency, they also have personal insurance. I've watched our people successfully do this. It's amazing to me how many people have come back into the East Texas area after college or a short stint in the metro areas. You may look like this too. Look around, pay attention. This is something that has been a natural referral network for our sales executives, for our producers. If you're a solopreneur, it still works for you. It works the same for you, just like it does for one of our sales executives, is you can do the same thing. You can build that referral network through other young professionals.
Since the beginning of IA Forward, we've used this concept of the playbook. And I love the playbook reference because, yes, you have a playbook, but adjustments have to be made. If I'm looking for my pitch, what adjustments do I have to make as the game goes on?
We see this not just in baseball, softball. We see it at halftime of football games. You have so many close games. They go in at halftime. One team makes an adjustment, comes out, 3 touchdowns in the third quarter. Game's now a blowout.
This is why Nick Saban is Nick Saban.
Nick Saban is Nick Saban because of this. This is exactly right. One of the biggest things that I preached to players and continue to preach to players is you have to make faster adjustments than your opponent. You have to see what's going on in the at-bat. You can't just make an adjustment later in the game. You need to be able to make an adjustment during that particular at-bat. What are you seeing in your prospecting process that might tell you need to make an adjustment? This doesn't mean that you pick a niche, pick a place to go attack, and then you just go down with the Titanic if it's not working. Sometimes you got to make an adjustment. On commercial lines, you may need to have 3 or 4 classes that you can become an expert on. You can't become an expert on 15, but you can become an expert on 3 or 4, and you need to probably find expertise in more than one. On the personal lines side, you have to be able to see what's working and what's not working, and you have to be able to make adjustments based on that natural feedback that comes. If you're attacking from a prospecting standpoint a certain geographic area with certain carriers and it's just not working, there's got to be an adjustment made. You don't just keep doing the same thing over and over again and looking for a different result. What you're doing is you're trying to find in the beginning that right fit for where you're going to be the most successful, and then you're going to go all in. My comparable is sometimes you got to have a two-strike approach too. Sometimes you just have to fight your way through, and the adjustment is to have a two-strike approach. And when you get two strikes and you're in the batter's box, you're just fighting for someone to make a mistake, because the pitcher will eventually make a mistake if you fight off balls enough. Same thing applies. You stay at it enough and you have somewhat of a two-strike approach, your competitor is going to make a mistake and you're going to get in the door and you're going to find your way into opening up those opportunities. And so sometimes that adjustment just leads you to a two-strike approach where you got to just fight.
Sometimes you even have pitches that you don't even really realize that you have. This past weekend, I was in Mississippi having a conversation with some new friends that we made. And one of the gentlemen owned a logging company. And he and I were talking, and there was a small group of people. And after this particular conversation was over, one of my close friends was like, "Why do you know that much about the logging industry? That's crazy." And I had to think about it. And I was like, my mom was an attorney in Northeast Louisiana, and she had a lot of logging clients. And it was one of those things that this one person came to her. She did a ton of research about the logging industry to be able to serve this one particular client. She did a good job for him. And then he started sending all of the loggers her way. And so without that being a planned niche for her, it became a planned niche for her, and she would talk about it a lot. And so I gathered a lot of information over the years from that. And it wasn't until this weekend that I even realized that I had logging knowledge. This wasn't even something that I thought that I knew. And so sometimes it may be one of those situations that sit down, start thinking about when you're having conversations with random people, what do you know that you didn't know you knew? And that might lead you to new pitches.
That's one of the initial conversations with new producers that I have in my mind as we continue to flesh out the recruitment process of new producers. It's really a conversation around, do you know? Tell me your background. Tell me your story. And within that story, people that have the sales acumen, that are qualified, that are going to be a good fit for building an insurance agency, becoming a great sales executive producer in an independent agency, there's some underlying mindset, just like athletes, that makes you a competitor. So once that is satisfied, then the next thing is, what can your story tell us about where you need to be marketing yourself and making sure that your carriers and products overlay with that knowledge of background knowledge of what does your family do? What have you been around in your life? Those are things that I don't think we do enough assessment in the beginning. And so what we do is we just go to the plate and start swinging. We think that having an at bat means take the bat to the plate and start swinging whatever comes our way. Sometimes you need to walk a little bit. Sometimes you need to let a couple of pitches go past you until you figure out exactly where do you need to be? Exactly what do you need to be looking for? What is the area that you can be great at? And, you know, this is something that came out in the book of Good to Great, of the hedgehog concept. What can you be the best at in your area? Most of the time, we can be the best at the things that we already have some experience with or around, just Tanya in her mom's law practice, or maybe it is something that you are highly interested in because it just fascinates you and you dig into it like Mama Queen did, and you become the expert through research. And then you just put yourself out there as someone that is learning this particular industry or niche. And so it's all adjustments. As you continue to grow and as you continue to look at this and find where you need to be, you got to look at your experience first.
I love the idea of reaching out to people, telling them, look, I know you're the expert at this. Can I come in and shadow you for a day? Can I learn from you? I want to know all about your industry. Looking at this not from a sales perspective, but looking at this from, I want to learn your business. And I know that our commercial producer at our home office there in Texas is fantastic about this. Brian has a true heart for knowledge and learning about people's industries. And this kind of reminds me of the movie from the 90s, Maverick, with Mel Gibson and, of course, the original Maverick, James Garner. And he goes in, and if you haven't seen it, it's one of my favorites. I love it. And Jodie Foster's in there. But he goes into this game and he tells them he's going to lose for the first hour. And so what does he do for the first hour? He watches their tells. He learns from them. He learns their business. And we have the opportunity as agents to do this and taking that time. And yes, he lost during that hour. You're going to lose that time. But what you're ultimately going to gain is so much more valuable.
If you're an agency owner and you're hiring commercial producers, or you're wanting to hire commercial producers, bake in the funding mechanism to let them learn. This is critical because you need to give them a chance to learn. Continuing with Brian as the example here, the first year of his insurance life, having moved from a different industry as a salesperson into the insurance industry as a salesperson, the first year was an educational year, learning the industry, learning different businesses, learning how insurance is going to apply to those businesses. And he didn't call on businesses with the idea that he needed to write their insurance today or this year. He called on businesses to learn about the business, to learn how he could position himself for a future opportunity. Now, he was only able to do this because I was willing to fund that. So agency owners, this is something that I really want you to think about. Is it worth the investment to give your producers the ability to learn these different industries? You're making an investment that's going to be rewarded year 2, 3, 4 and beyond. Think about the long-term game here. It's another infinite game opportunity. When we go at it and say, I need you to be paying for yourself in 90 days, we're creating anxious hitters. We're creating anxious salespeople. That's something we need to take away as well, is how do we allow our salespeople to educate within the industry and circles that we're trying to get them to market themselves in?
I'm going to leave us today with this quote from Warren Buffett. You don't have to swing at everything. You can wait for your pitch.
Attitude's a choice. Make a great one.
Bye, y'all.
Ready to get the ball rolling with your independent agency? Learn more at IntegraAgent.com. That's IntegraAgent.com. Thank you for joining us on IA Forward. Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now, or learn more at IAForward.com.